I think about Christmas. I always go back to the family farm. I remember Grandma and Grandpa sitting there in the big stuffed chairs. Maybe, oh, the driveway was humongous. There might be 25 cars parked in the driveway. And I sit here today and think about those days. Awesome times. And a lot of those I used to celebrate Christmas with has gone on. They stepped into eternity, which makes the blessed hope of Christ so much more soothing to me. You know, folks, that's what Christ is. He's a comfort. And many of us might be sitting here today missing loved ones that has gone on. And we do miss them, you know. But we got to look forward to the blessed hope we have in Christ Jesus of being reunited with our loved ones again. Just think of it. He said, all those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And sometimes we sit around and say, yeah, but you know, old Uncle Charlie is pretty ordinary, you know. Well, there's no chance that she or he, but I'm telling you what. God is a God of love. Now, he's a God of righteousness and a God of holiness, and what he says goes, there's no way around it, okay? But we look at Christ, and we're celebrating right now, we're remembering his birth, but we look at the resurrection. Remember, you can't have a death unless something comes alive. So we're looking towards his birth. But just think that when he was crucified on the cross, there's two thieves, the Bible talks about, two sinners that was crucified with them. And I can imagine, maybe one of them, for a moment, let that one of them is your relative. Okay, you can be a son, a daughter, it could be anyone. And they've been in prison, and man, they really messed up, and they got this death sentence, and you've been, I just wish he'd give his life to the Lord. I just wish he'd accept Christ. You know, I just wish that he would believe in God. And finally the time comes for the execution. They take him out to crucify him. And, you know, I ain't going. So you walk away, and you're not there watching the last second of the breath of that loved one when he's hanging on the cross beside Jesus. And they're insulting Jesus for a while. And he finally turns to Christ and acknowledges him. Man, you are the Savior, Lord. And Jesus said this. I'll tell you this. Surely today you shall be with me in paradise. Wow. Awesome. Acknowledge Jesus Christ at the last second of his life. I mean, no doubt he's probably heard about Christ. I mean, he's been around the area for a while. But never did anything with him until that last second. He called upon the name of the Lord. So folks, that's our hope that we have. Some of them, well, I know we can say, oh, I'll guarantee this person is in heaven. Look what they did. Only God truly knows their heart. So if you're sitting around thinking, man, I don't know, I really miss my loved one, look towards the hope we have in Christ Jesus of being reunited again. Don't let Satan take you down that path of depression. Don't let him lock you in that cell and not let you come out and make you just stay in there all the time and thump your head saying, oh, why? So get behind me, Satan. My Savior came into this world to give me life and give it more abundantly. I will not sit around the mollyblogs anymore and let Satan take away what God's given me, a new life. Satan will attack you in that mind all the time. Get behind me. You're Jesus' offsprings. You're more than conquerors. Realize that, what you are. Don't let them thump you. Don't let them beat you up. Don't let them say, oh, why didn't you do this differently, that differently? Get behind me, Satan. Come out from your shell. Celebrate the life we have in Christ and the life that is to come. We're all just passing through. Some of us might leave earlier. Some of us might be younger when we step into eternity. Some of us might be Moses, Methuselah. But we're all going to step into eternity. This is, praise God, this is just a temporary thing. Nobody wants to live forever in this condition of this world. And through Christ, we have a guarantee of a better life here, of hope, of peace, and of joy, and an everlasting life. Don't let Satan take away from you. I mean, can you imagine Jason sitting up here and saying, man, I'm tired. I don't have any shoes to wear. Every time I walk across the stones, my feet hurt. And I've had a pair of boots. It's like, man, I'll give you a pair of boots. And you pick up the boots, oh my land, my feet still hurt every time I walk across the stones. Put the boots on. Take away the pain. And Jesus says, let me take your pain. I took your pain to the cross. I took the stripes on my back. My beard was plucked out. The crown of thorns was put on my head. I took your pain. Now rejoice. Rejoice in the greatest gift I could give you. That's redemption from our sins and eternal life. Please, let this be a time of joy in your life. Don't get caught up in the world. Amen? Amen. We are in the world. He wants us to be here. To go tell on the mountain, right? But not get wrapped up in the world. Amen. And I say a lot of times this time of year is putting the boxing gloves on. We go shopping. Don't tell me happy holiday. It's Merry Christmas. You got Xmas on the wall. You're taking Christ out of Christmas. And all these things can come into our lives to start taking away the joy that we're celebrating. Oh, oh, oh. Any youngsters today? We're okay. I'd be careful Friday night. Okay, Tracy. But I saw a... my wife had one years ago. Still has it. I saw a figurine one time. And it had a picture. It had Santa Claus. And he was knelt down at the manger scene. Anybody ever see that one?
Yeah.
And I thought, my lands, I ought to burn that thing. I mean, we got a we got a made up person, I can't say the right word, mythical person bowed down to the, man, that's ridiculous. Well, I'm the type of person, if I do something, I don't know why we do it. So I start studying why. Why Santa Claus? Why Xmas? How did it all get started? If you get in your Bible and read about Christmas, what all do you find about Christmas? Nothing. Zero. I know you think, uh-oh, what book is that in, Pastor? It's not. No. So here we go. Are you ready? Some already heard this before, but I encourage you. How did Christmas get started? Actually, Christmas started, and a lot of people say, wow, it was when Jesus was born. Christmas started around 316 after the birth of Jesus. What has taken place, there is a Christian family, very wealthy, and their name is Nicholas, and this is the truth. And this man grew up loving God, loving Jesus, born again. And his parents passed away. He had this great inheritance. And he had a heart for people. And he would see the needs of the children in his village. And so what he would do, from his riches he had, he would go and take things to the kids. But not wanting any acknowledgement of it, he did it at nighttime. You know, the only left hand know what your right hand is doing. He didn't want anyone to acknowledge that it was him doing it. So he started bringing gifts, apples, oranges, that kind of stuff, whatever they might need, to the children. That's true. I mean, this is probably 300 at this time. A year 300. Not 300 kids, okay? Well, during that time in Rome, Romans hated Christians. And Nicholas became a bishop, actually, in the church. They were so mad at him, spreading the love of God, that they had him arrested and put him in prison for being a Christian, just for taking care of people. He was in there about 7 years, and that emperor of Rome died, and a new emperor came on. His name was Constantine. And Constantine wasn't a Christian at this time. But he was emperor of Rome. And Rome was all the whole world at that time. And he had pagans. And pagans are anyone who's not a Christian. So if you worship pigs, you're a pagan. Trees. And he had Christians, both in his kingdom. And he's getting ready for a battle one night. And he had a dream. the emperor had a dream of Constantine. He had a dream. And in this dream, he saw the sun. And at this time, the pagans worshiped the god of the sun. Not the Son of God, but the God of the sun. And in this dream, as he's seen the sun in his dream, here comes a cross of Jesus over top of the sun. And he knew then that Jesus was the true God. So he goes to prison and he starts talking to Nicholas. And he finds really a friendship developed between him and Nicholas. To the point, he gives a decree and Nicholas is released from prison. Wow! Then, in order to bring, I don't know, maybe a way of saying, hey, Nicholas, I love you, I'm not sure. December the 21st was when the pagans were celebrating the winter solstice. Okay? In order to bring appeasement, Constantine picked December the 25th to be the day for the Christians to celebrate the birth of Jesus. About 316. That's how Christmas got started. Now the amazing thing is, Jesus was not born on Christmas Day. Understand? And when I heard that, I got upset. My lands, all these years. I get tired of being lied to. Have you ever gone to church and listened to the preacher and just say, well, that's got to be the gospel? I appreciate your faith you have in me, but put your faith in Jesus. Amen? If you tell me something, I'm going to look it up. Okay? And I get really upset. And I thought, oh man. He wasn't born on Christmas all these years. Man. Well, isn't it very simple? If you figure Jesus, he was crucified on what we call Easter, really it's Resurrection Sunday. He was crucified on Good Friday. When he was crucified, it's documented in his history books, not just the Bible. He was 33 and a half years old when he was crucified. Wow. Okay. So if I want to know how old he was, or when his birthday is, I either go back 6 months, or go forward 6 months. Let's go forward. March, we got April, May, June, July, August, September. Jesus was born in September, not in December the 25th. Jesus was born at the Feast of Tabernacle. Wow. That is, and that is in the Bible. In fact, the Feast of Tabernacles is one of three feasts that God says is His feast and will celebrate forever and ever. One is Passover. The second one is Pentecost. And the third one is Tabernacle. Never ever will you see in the Bible to celebrate His resurrection. Think of that. How many of you celebrate what we call Easter? Yeah, awesome. I love it. Okay. How many celebrate Christmas? Awesome. But here's the God thing here. December 25th was selected by Constantine. If you take from Jesus' birth and you back up, and ladies know more about it than I do. You got so many days you want to carry that kid in you. 270 someday. You back up and it becomes December the 25th. December 25th is the day that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and she conceived Jesus in her womb. In the Jewish culture, the minute you're conceived, you're considered to be alive. December the 25th is when God came into human form as an embryo in Mary's womb. God came to earth. Wow! So we can celebrate December 25th as the greatest gift we ever received. That's when God came to tabernacle of men in the womb. Think of that. Tabernacle is to live, yes. So we look at St. Nicholas. If he never was a good Christian, if he was never put in prison, Constantine, which they say, was born again before he died. He had no reason to believe that Jesus was a true God. So you get rid of Santa Claus, you get rid of Christmas. You don't get rid of the birth of Christ. You don't get rid of the death and resurrection of Christ. No. But see how God does that? So we can celebrate Christmas. We can celebrate Happy Holidays. Can we remember this? It was a holiday before we stepped in and turned it around for Christmas. Amen? And as a Christian, I realize, hey, Merry Christmas. I'm like, hey, man, awesome time. Remember the gift God gave us, you know? And you can say, well, Happy Holidays. It is a happy time. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to argue with people. I don't have to argue with people and take my joy away. I'm remembering the greatest gift God ever gave me. And He came in human form. Jesus had to come in human form. Understand that? Because God gave dominion to humans. Gave it to us, and we blew it. We gave it to Satan when we sinned in the garden. So Jesus came to buy back. To buy back that dominion. So He had to come in human form. Live a sinless life. Born of a virgin. And died and rose up again. Paying for our sins. So, wow. Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas.
Yes, yes. Now, it's just like this. Back in Fresno, I played for the Fresno Apaches about 50 years ago. We had an undefeated football team. Anybody else play on the Apaches team with me?
We're on the bench.
Anybody else with me? Nobody been there? Yeah, yeah. Undefeated year, buddy. It's been 50 years ago. I'm telling you what, if it wasn't for me, that team would have lost every game. I was the best player Fresno ever had. I'm telling you what. It wasn't for me. I'm telling you what, man. Muscles I had, I was the fastest person on the team, you know. The other glory days will pass me by. Actually, I sat on the bench. But as the years go by, the better I was. I could keep adding to the story. I tell the story one time. Man, what are you living for? I said, man, it was a homecoming game my senior year. We're down by 4 points. I said, the quarterback, man, he goes back and passes the ball. I jump up and I fall on the bleachers and I hurt my leg. You know what I'm saying? So things were added to the story. But St. Nicholas was a true person, a Christian, that devoted his life to the Lord, serving Him. As time went on, they add things to him, the suit, the beard, the reindeer. That's all. That has nothing truly to do with the original one. But what it does do, guys, it causes people to think. And sometimes you say, oh, I have nothing to do with that. That's fine. You don't hurt my feelings if you do. But I think that if it's there, let's step into it and bring it around to the truth. It's kind of like Halloween. People don't celebrate Halloween. You don't have to. But you can be involved, step in, and share the truth about God's love. Now, Halloween used to be all about the saints who passed away the year before and stuff. We can either hide from stuff or embrace it. I don't mean embrace it, but step into it and share it. So, St. Nicholas was a true person. Now, you got to watch out for it, guys. Anybody ever raise kids? Grandkids? And you got any childish husbands? No. But and I know you get to the point. They don't settle down. And we say, what do we say? Behave?
Behave.
Santa Claus watching you.
Yes.
And folks, that part we need to watch out for. Come on, man. God is watching over you. You got to settle down. Okay? Behave. Santa Claus won't bring you a present. You know what I'm saying? We have to kind of watch. I believe we have to watch that. Because we won't be like God, be like Christ-like. He gave us the greatest gift when we were the worst in our life. So just kind of watch out on that part. Amen?
Amen.
Again, not here to raise your life or tell you how to live your life. I'm just telling you why we do some of the things, and hopefully that you'll be encouraged. Xmas. X is a Greek letter for Christ. C-H-I, what stands for Christ. So when you see Xmas, Christ isn't taken out of Christmas. It's just in a different language. Now, some folks use that to take Christ out of Christmas. They don't want to mention Christ's name. That's up to them. We should never get offended. Again, because we have chosen, as the followers of Jesus Christ, to, at this time, to remember and celebrate the coming of the Lord. If someone else doesn't want to do it, arguing with them doesn't do any good. It's Christmas. God shed His love. I'm sick and tired of you calling it Xmas. That's not God's love. It'd be like if today was John Kimmerer's birthday. It was. It wasn't. It's not. Don't buy him presents. But if this is John Kimmerer's birthday today, and they're going to have this party celebrating his birthday. Okay? And Carol says, well, if they're going to celebrate John's birthday, I'm going to celebrate Starkey's birthday. So, we're going to celebrate Starkey's birthday today. And somebody comes in, and Polly comes in and says, hey, happy birthday, John. Hey, John's birthday, it's my birthday. Well, she wants to say happy birthday, John. She can do that. It is. It's your day. But it's my day also. I'm not going to fight you over it. That's the same way with Christmas. You know, get away from the punching and the fighting and stuff like that. Or I don't say fighting because you guys don't fight, but don't think you have to defend Merry Christmas, Santa Claus, Xmas. We're joyfully celebrating that. Because nowhere in the Bible tells you to do that. So we can celebrate. It doesn't say you can't. It's like Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate it. It never says you have to. Never tells you to. We choose to remember the resurrection of Jesus. His death, when He died for our sins. Rose up from the grave. That's the two biggies. Amen. And the third one, or the second one is Pentecost. And the third one is Tabernacle. Do you remember that stuff? So, any questions? No? It's true.
It's true. Because
I would never lie to you.
Because we have Christ in our hearts.
We got Christ in our hearts. Amen.
And
amen.
He is burning our hearts up, and we are His children.
We are.
Adults.
Amen. Amen. We're His children. Yeah. We were born. He says at one time, if you're not born again, you're the children of the devil. The devil is your father. Wow. Because you listen to him, follow him. Yep. Amen. Now, Christmas trees. I'm going to step on everything today, huh? Hey, no, really, I want to... Let me put my top back on here. There we go.
I saw you tearing that apart.
Well, you said the top of it. Yeah, she meant the words on top of the singing, and I thought she meant here. And a lot of times we just don't understand the scriptures. Number one, the Christmas tree is never mentioned in the Bible. Okay? And people say, well, you can't have a Christmas tree. It's against the Lord that speaks about it. And what they talk about a lot of times, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Jeremiah chapter 10, or I can read it to you. I'm going to read it to you anyway. But Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1 through 6. And again, if you choose not to put a Christmas tree up, you don't have to. If you choose not to celebrate Christmas, that's not a sin. Amen? If you don't send out Christmas cards, that's fine. You know, because I do believe one thing we have to watch out for, we get so commercialized in celebrating the greatest gift, that's where a lot of people, they just turn sour at this Christmas time. Because we think we have to give more presents than we did last year. We, you know, all kids want this, grandkids want this, blah, 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 blah. Slow down. Don't make it miserable. Jeremiah 10, verse 1, he says, hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations, and do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens, although the nations are terrified by them. For the customs of the people are delusion, because it is wood cut from the forest, okay, the work of the hands of a craftsman with a cutting tool. They decorate it with silver and with gold. They fasten with nails and with hammers, so they will not totter. Like a scarecrow in a cumbered field are they. And they cannot speak. My Christmas tree can't speak. They must be carried. I carried up from the basement last night. Because they cannot walk. Do not fear them, for they can do no harm, nor can they do any good. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might. Now, you see that there, and you talk about, well, the tree grows out in the woods, right? And you go out, and you cut them down. I never cut a tree down yet that walked in by itself. You had to carry it in, and we put silver, and we put gold on it. Doesn't that describe a Christmas tree?
Is it real?
It sounds like it. But he's describing is a totem pole. They bring it into the house and they bow down to it. And they worship it. A totem pole, not a Christmas tree. So if you thought that scripture was speaking against putting a tree up in your home, it is not. You have to remember, Christmas is not mentioned in the Bible. Okay? Well, how do we get Christmas trees into our house? Well, I'm glad you asked. It started back the pagans, the winter solstice. They would bring a tree in and decorate it to celebrate life in the middle of winter. And it wasn't about 300 or 400 years ago that we started bringing Christmas trees in, or trees into the house and decorate it. Okay? So, does that mean when you bring your tree in the house and decorate it, you're celebrating a pagan god? No. No, it isn't. You can bring a tree into your home in honor of God and decorate it, and it can be a memorial reminder to you. Okay? Again, if you say, well, I don't like them Christmas trees, I'm not bringing one in my house, you don't have to. But man, I tell you, we look at this here, and it just reminds me, and redecorate it and stuff. It reminds me, like I said, Christmas is past. It reminds me of my God and my Savior, my Lord. You know, and this here is an artificial tree. We used to have real ones years and years ago, but I don't know. What do you get? You get tired of the pine needles and stuff. But the tree is made. It's green. It's an evergreen example of one. And in Psalms 90, verse 1 and 2, it speaks about a life, being alive forever. Psalms 90, 1 and 2 says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, you gave birth to the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God is without beginning or out end. He's always been alive and always shall be alive. And the evergreen reminds me the same thing. I look at it, yeah, it reminds me that God doesn't have a beginning and an end. Mind in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. An evergreen tree does not perish in the middle of wintertime. The evergreen is always green. That's why they call it an evergreen. That's where our God is. Again, these are just things that speaks to me. It's things that we can use as Christians. As you ever go around and visit people and look at their Christmas tree? We do quite often. I always look in there and got a present for me down there. But yourself, if you have someone you want to witness to, you know, maybe you go to somebody's house and oh man, they don't really get the idea of Jesus. Hey, you know what a preacher told me today in church? That evergreen trees reminds them of God. That God had no beginning and no end. Wow, He's always has been, always will be. And you know, an evergreen tree, it's like it never dies. It reminds me of that. That God always has been. He always will be. Now, huh?
It's a congregation of
It's a conversation starter, you know. You ever have that? You want to talk to somebody about the Lord, but you know how to get started? You know? Now, I had a great one year. I was coming back, and Vicky knows this. Some of you guys said, Mike Rusk. Buddy Mike, John's coming back, Mike Rusk. Driving down the highway. I just brought him back from the heart doctor in Columbus. And I'm a new Christian. I'm witnessing to Mike about Jesus. And we're talking about almost to the point of sharing it to him. You know, but hey, just give your life to Christ. Conversation stopped. Now I'm driving down the road. Oh, Lord, I wish God help me. Help me get the conversation started again. Going down the highway, 70 miles an hour in his van. We're coming back home. And what passes me is a hippie version of a VW van. It's painted in psychedelic colors. And on the back of it had a peace sign that said, Jesus loves you.
Amen.
And that started the conversation up right then to witness more to Mike Rusk. I'm telling you, God sent that van my way. Somewhere I'm going to see that in heaven somewhere when I get there. Some angel will drive it down that road. Well, it's the same way with the Christmas tree. It may be a conversation starter. Helps you to share the true meaning that we have for Christmas. Then on the tree, what we do, we put lights on it. And I went ahead and put the lights on this one here to save the wrapping part, because that's probably one of the jobs I don't care much. Ford's wrapping the tree of lights. With an artificial tree, one of the hardest parts is pulling the branches out straight and then putting the lights on. But when you put the lights on the tree, it reminds me that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Amen? And that light came in the world to get rid of darkness. And John 8:12 says, Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Psalms 119:105. I know it's kind of, I don't want to go too fast, where I kind of slow down here. But again, it's, when you're sitting there in the evening, and maybe you're having a tough day, and you're putting a tree up, these verses will come back to you, or other verses that you know about the Lord. It'll soothe you. In Psalms 119:105, it says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What's that, Carol?
And Jesus is the word.
And Jesus is the word, yes. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You're sitting there, you're not, I'm not sure what to do. You open the word of God up. And you hear His Word. He guides every step that we have. And you see the lights, they are resting on the branches. You get that, did you, Marianne? Okay. But you see the branches there. And of course, that takes me to John 15:5. John 15:5 for the branches. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Romans 11:16 is another verse that comes to mind. Romans 11:16 says, If the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also. And if the root is holy, the branches are too. Otherwise, we are rooted in Christ. Man, God sees us as being holy. And you look at the tree, you see how the branches are reaching out? Reminds you that that's what we need to do. We need to reach out to others and share that light. Can you imagine what the light would look like if I didn't have any branches on the tree? Most of you guys wouldn't be able to see it. It could be a little ball down at the bottom of it. Okay? But there is branches there to support the lights. It reminds us that that's who we are. We are the branch. We're connected to God. Think of that. We're His branches. The root you don't see. But branches you do, don't you? So how important is that for us? What an awesome opportunity He's given us, Steve, to be His branches, to shine His light into this world. And folks, every one of us here, if you're born again, you've seen that light, and if you accept it, it exposes your darkness. And you turn away from that darkness, and you let the light come into your life. And that's what we want for everyone, is it not? The light of Christ. Again, these are scriptures that I hope encourage you, and as conversation pieces for loved ones when you go visit. Now we take the ornaments. Ornaments, Ephesians 5, verse 7 to 9. It says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." So, if I can take an ornament here, if I can hang it right here a second. I know I got smaller bulbs this year. But if you can see that a little bit, you can see that bulb, just to a degree, is reflecting light. Okay, that light represents Jesus. Amen? Okay? So, you see that light is being reflected off that bulb. It says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." So if I unplug the lights, you know there'd be no reflection at all. But now, as part of the body of Christ, I reflect His light. And it says in Romans 10:13, "For all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen?
Amen.
All those. And in Luke 23, verse 42 and 43, as Jesus was being crucified, he says, and he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, that thief on the cross with him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." See, I hung this bulb on the tree a second ago. I got a name written on that. And the name says Howard Griffin. The name of that. That's Carol's dad. And for a moment I think back, and he would share this with you if he was here, of a man who was an alcoholic, a man who would destroy his house, a man who would make his daughter and kids shiver at the thought of him coming home. A man, if we can say, was bent on going to hell. But I see a man when Carol was 16 years old, went to a church service, went down to the altar, and surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. He would even start singing in church. I'm not sure how well he sang, but I'm telling you, to God, it was a beautiful song. You guys will sing. In fact, he couldn't even sing a complete song. He started crying because God removed his sin debt. And today, look at that. I see that light reflect. That is my hope. That Howard Griffin, my father-in-law, your daddy, is in heaven today because of Jesus Christ. To me, that's an encouragement. And someday, as I keep my faith in the Master, I will see him again. You know, we have another one here. But another one here says Stan. Anybody remember Stan? Stan was Stanley Mason. I'll tell you what. Awesome fella. I look at that and it reminds me. It reminds me of your ministry here. How many people knew Stan? Stan was a truck driver. Ornery fella. He was something else. I tell you what. And about 2010, he showed up here for a wedding. We did a wedding during a Sunday service for a couple. And he came for the wedding. And Stan walked in, and he's a burly truck driver, and he had all these tattoos and letters on his fingers and stuff. I won't tell you all there was. But he came in, and he heard me preaching. Well, I had the wedding. The next week was cookout on the grill day. We was cooking in a snowstorm. Stanley shows up out there, walks up to me, and I've shared this 1,000 times. But I'm telling you, this is what encourages me. He walked up to me, Stanley goes, "Hey, preacher." "Yes, Stanley. Hey, I was listening to you last Sunday, what you were saying. I said, that's good, Stanley. I'm flipping my burgers. I'm going to come next Sunday to get myself saved. I said, well, awesome, Stanley, but you know what? You're not guaranteed to be here next Sunday. If Jesus is moving upon your heart today to accept him as a Savior, Lord, right now, right here, let's pray and receive him as your Savior, Lord. Surrender your life to him. Okay. And we stood out there, the old grill was going, snowing like crazy, held hands, and Stanley Mason accepted Jesus Christ right out there on that sidewalk in front of the church. He was born again. And Stanley's life turned upside down. Man, he fell in love with Jesus. He's here every day. And had to retire from trucking. I mean, he could not get enough of the church and the church folks. Now, Stanley was still Stanley. Stanley was still a work in progress. Amen? But what a progress the Lord made in his life. And when I see that reflection on him up here, I think, man, God, you're awesome. I mean, it's awesome that God could save a sinner like me. And Stanley, Howard, I mean, it encourages me. So when I sit at home and I look at our Christmas tree, it brings me encouragement. I don't need a lot of presents under my tree. Seriously, the greatest present is one who hung on the tree. And knowing the hope we have in Christ. We have a lot of bulbs here. Then after the service, you want to, you know, every year, if you want to bring a bulb in of a loved one, you're welcome to put the name on and hang on the tree. It's like a remembrance tree. To remember the hope we have. I know our tree at home, we have decoration from the kids. We got some type of reindeer made out of a popsicle stick back in 1984 or whatever. But we look at that and remember, awesome. Our kids growing up. Some things we have on the tree of those who have passed on. We share that hope of going to see them again. So it can be a time of encouragement for all of us. Don't let it be a time of desperation. I mean, a time of sadness. We take presents. And there's something in it this year. That's heavy this year. You wait till Christmas Eve. But presents. You know, we put our presents under the tree. Gifts. I guess the gifts is better, presents. I'm your presents. Okay, this is a gift.
Oh, man.
But it reminds me of Matthew 2:11. Talking about the birth of Jesus. It says, and they, being the wise men, came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Wow. You think gold, frankincense, and myrrh, that's an awesome gift. But, you know, a couple of things we remember is that three wise men. But really, it could have been a dozen wise men. There'd be two dozen wise men. The reason we say three wise men, because all that comes from a school play. Most school plays, it's very limited how much room we have on the stage. We know we need three wise men, one for gold, one for silver, one for myrrh. But there could have been two or three dozen. Or frankincense, yes, I'm sorry. There could have been more than that. But they brought, they think, wow. I mean, we just had a baby shower yesterday. And no one brought gold, silver, or frankincense. Wow. But why did they bring them? See, God already knew in advance. He already had a purpose for this child being born. Same as you. God had a purpose for your life to be born. Jeremiah 59:2 tells us that. I know the plans I have for you, said the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans for your welfare. That's his plans for every one of us here. He had a plan for when his son was born. He knew the plan was that he was going to grow up and die on the cross for our sins. He knew not everybody's going to be welcome Jesus into the neighborhood. He knew there was jealousy out there. And when the king heard from the wise men that there was a new king born in Bethlehem, what did he say? You guys remember? Kill the kids. Kill them. God knew that they had to pack up and boogie on down the road. That it would take things to travel with. And gold, silver, and frankincense was a commodity they could trade, pay for the end bill, whatever they might need, feed for the donkey. He supplied all their needs before they even needed it. Isn't that awesome? That's why it's frankincense and myrrh and gold. And also represents kingliness. But and folks, the same way in your life today, God had it already figured out His plans for you. You think, well, I don't have gold or silver. I'm telling you. Until we line up with His Word, we're on our own. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, He had Jesus' plan made out for Him. But what happened if Joseph said, hey, we need to take off. Well, let's go over this way. He would miss the plans that God had for him, right? So as we listen to the Word of God, and then we just read about the Word being a light unto our path, as we line up that Word and follow Jesus, follow that Word, the plans that God has for our life will take place. And it's not to harm us. When He says to prosper, He's not just talking about money. You know, we need money for things. I understand that. Prosper is peace. Peace and joy and comfort is something money cannot buy you. Why do we emphasize so much stuff that we need to purchase? We worry about paying the bills. Then we worry about someone going to break in our house and steal it. But inside of us, the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, the comfort, no one can take that away from us. That's a true gift. A true gift He offers us. Wow. Focus on the things. I think some of the greatest gifts you can receive is homemade gifts. Don't you think so? I mean, gifts are awesome. I mean, it comes to somebody's heart. That's the main thing, somebody's heart. You know, somebody give me a gift. Oh, man. Wow, thank you very much. Well, I had to buy you something. I mean, that's like I tell my wife, she says, Sarky, do you love me? I say, yeah, I married you, didn't I? You know? But to be in your heart. You know, John 3:16 is another greatest gift there ever is. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that gift there represents itself just by looking at the tree. Knowing that Jesus was birthed to die on a tree for my sins. To redeem me from all my ugliness and my stupidity. That's the greatest gift there is. And then we put garland on a tree. Some people might do icicles. I really like the icicles. But Carol don't like picking them up when I'm done. And this is why we don't put a lot of bulbs on it before we get done on Sundays. Because I've been known to dump, knock a couple of them off. I'll put more on it later on. So when you look at the gold, what does that remind you of? To me, it reminds me of the presents, one of the presents they brought to God, to Jesus. And it also reminds me of Song of Solomon. I know a lot of times we don't dwell much in the Song of Solomon, but chapter 2, verse 6. It says, let His left hand be under your head, and His right hand embrace me. Wrap me in your arms. That shows the comfort that God brings to us. As I wrap that garland around the tree, remind me how God's arms are wrapped around me. That He lifts my head up and allows me to breathe. He holds me, embraces me. And sometimes the events that we go through, we can't change them. We have to go through them, but He's there to embrace us, to comfort us, and to help us. He's there to protect us. He'll never forsake me. He'll never leave me. Never, ever. I mean, what a blessing that is. Then on top of the tree, when you have a star, you have an angel. We've been using an angel. And we tried last night. Her candles burn out. Angel on top of the tree. Remind me of Luke 1:35. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I think I have the right name. I want to say Tex Ritter. He had a song out one time called The Deck of Cards.
Yes.
Was that Texas Ritter? Anybody remember the Deck of Cards? Okay, think of that for a second. And when it's a story, but he's a soldier. He's in church, and the preacher's preaching, and he's got a deck of cards out. And man, they just really go. The commanding officer gets upset. Says, "Man, we're going to court martial you. We're going to do all that kind of stuff to you. Why would you have a deck of cards?" And he went through the deck of cards and explained what the king meant and the ace meant. And when I saw the two and the Old Testament and the New Testament, I saw the three, that they're the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He was able to take that deck of cards and relate it to God. Now, a deck of cards can be used for evil. Or you can gamble everything you got away. But he took it and reminded himself about God. Is there anything wrong with that? There isn't. Again, it goes back to your Christmas tree. It can remind you of all kind of things about the Lord. It's just kind of, but in Luke 1:35 says, "The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God.'" The angel announced that. And that is, right then, is what we call Christmas took place. That right there would have been December 25th. Right then is when Mary would have conceived Jesus. Right there in the Jewish culture, the minute you conceive, you have life. You're really born, you're 9 months old. I pray in this nation that we can get back to where a child is conceived, they actually has a life. Because it does. It does. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, 21. "But when he had considered this," talking about Joseph, "behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" And likewise in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, 11. "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Wow. All that. And there's more. There's even more and more times in the Bible where we talk about angels, how they came forward. Well, it reminds us of God again. To me, when you're sitting around in the evening looking at the tree, it can be encouragement to you. If you go visit someone, it gives you a reason to start talking about the Lord to them. What's that? Yeah, chapter 2 in Luke, verse 8 through 11. Yeah. Then around the bottom of it, we have a white sheet that we put around it.
Well, I thought we used to catch the needle.
Around the bottom of the tree. Some of them have a white one that they actually put under the tree as a bag. It's really an awesome thing that when Christmas is completed, they just bring the bag over top of the tree and then carry it outside without losing one needle on the ground. So, yeah. Yep. Now, the sheet in the bottom of it takes me to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be made like wool. And that reminds me there that through all this here, that God, through His Son Jesus Christ, has removed my sins from my life. He sees me as spotless because of Jesus Christ. To me, it encourages me. I don't care if the world might come against me, they might hate me, they might insult me, they might never forgive me for whatever I've done, but my God has forgiven me. I can sit there and look at that tree and remind me during this time of the year, all the goodness of the Lord. I pray it does the same for you. I pray that it helps you if you choose to put a tree up when you visit someone. Or you might be walking through Walmart, maybe, and you're standing in front of the tree exhibit, and someone walks past you. Hey, let me tell you about this tree a little bit, you know? Why not, you know? Everyone needs encouragement. And it seems like this time of year, they need it a lot more. A lot more. A lot of folks can fall into the depression this type of year. And inside of us, we have the best undepressing agent there is. And that's the love of Jesus Christ that we can share and help one another. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.